Generations Bank has been serving the financial needs of the Finger Lakes region since 1870. Generations combines the best of modern banking with dedication to the local community. Visit them at mygenbank.com. Generations Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Everybody, welcome into Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. Guess what, Nick? It's gonna be May.
It is May.
As I had to, I apologize for for that. But it is May. Kind of crazy how this year is going. As we just got a nice air pressure situation in the building again. But Paul Russo, across from me, next to me, Nick Felice. Nick, how's it going?
Good. You know, big fan of May. One of my favorite times of the year is like Memorial Day, because that's kind of like the start of summer, and I love summer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, enjoy these first couple weeks of May here, a few weeks, and get ready for that. Kentucky Derby this Saturday. Yeah. Pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, we already had our first scratch, unfortunately, with that. So, yeah, I don't know. I haven't done my homework yet on it. It's one of the very few horse races a year, I bet. But, of course, the other ones are Preakness, Belmont.
Belmont at Saratoga Springs.
Whatever, I don't give a shit. It's Belmont forever and always. Interesting podcast on deck. Where we'll be talking, I guess, a little bit about changing of the guards of sort. And we got some baseball stuff to discuss. I didn't really plan on maybe discussing baseball, but it ended up being a pretty eventful day yesterday as we get through the first month of the season already, which is kind of crazy, so...
Yeah, but first.
But first is right. We do have to, as we saw the jump, we had Generations Bank. But we also have Ticino's Pizzeria and Restaurant to thank, Waterloo and Geneva locations, dine-in, takeout, delivery, catering, and banquets. You can order online at Ticino's.com. Live, laugh, and eat well. It's the Italian way. By the way, shout out to them. Got some garlic... they have those, like... we call them not still, but like, theirs are just like...
rolls,
pretty much. They're freaking fantastic. But
they are good.
Shout out to them for that, as always. And of course, GoNet Speed, the future connection is here, and it's fiber. You may probably live and work today. GoNet Speed fiber, faster and stronger than anything out there. You can check availability in your area as well as plans and pricing at GoNetSpeed.com, and get ready for fast and reliable fiber internet straight to your home. So, it's pretty interesting, and I've seen some people kind of talk a little bit about it here in the past couple days, but. Not a ton. We'll be on the NBA playoff side of it here. It's always strange because, like, we're at a point now, Nick, where me and you are the ages of a lot of athletes in their primes. And, you know, not to say we didn't grow up with them, right, but, like, I always kind of really akin it to, for me anyway, because I'm a NASCAR fan, like, seeing, like, I remember being in college, a freshman in college, and watching – Bubba Wallace and Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott all make their first career starts, and whether it was the Trucks or Xfinity Series, and being like, oh, damn, I'm 19 sitting in a cafeteria, and they're 19 and winning at Martinsville and Canadian Tire Motorsports Park and stuff like that. And, you know, it was just one of those things still where you woke up at that time, and I think, you know, I know people at home might be adding up now here where I'm getting with this, right? And at the time, it's like, okay, LeBron James is still like 10 years older than me, but like an adult compared to me, all things considered still, right?
Yeah.
Way out there. And, you know, kind of with the Lakers getting gentlemen swept, right, in 5 games by Denver, they kind of take the headline here of kind of this old guard in the NBA kind of phasing out. And obviously, to agree, Golden State missing the playoffs fits that bill as well. Obviously, and it's kind of crazy because, like, Steph and LeBron are technically the same age. I think people kind of forget that. Because, obviously, Steph Curry did 4 years of college. LeBron went, obviously, going right to the NBA from high school. And, you know, Draymond, I think, graduated Michigan State in 2012, if I remember right. Klay was only a year before that in Washington State. So, it's like, okay, like, this era... basketball's moving on, right? And, you know, we're seeing that, I think, to a degree with Phoenix, obviously more so on the Kevin Durant side of things, right? Yep. But, and we'll jump into maybe some other just truer playoff stuff here, obviously, with the NBA here in a second. But it's kind of crazy. I think we're witnessing in real time the change of the guard, right, where, you know, we're phasing out the LeBrons. And if you don't know who Anthony Edwards is right now, you're gonna. That's a bad dude. And you're seeing him, obviously, we know about Jokic at this point. It's very well known, right? But, you know, you're kind of seeing that. And I think, you know, it's a little bit different to a degree with some of these guys, right? But, like, you know, Jalen Brunson has really taken a lot of the spotlight. We know about the Celtics duo, although I'll say part of that for when we talk about some other stuff in the playoffs, actually. But the point still stands, right? Now we're seeing this younger crop really kind of take their foothold in the league and cement their place from the old guard that we grew up with.
Yeah. I mean, what would you say? About 90 to 95% of the players in the league, we've seen their debuts?
Oh, yeah. At this point, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when we started watching, obviously, you know, KG and Ray Allen and these guys have already started their career, Shaq. So we caught, you know, like halfway through their careers, you know, and caught the end of it. But these guys like LeBron.
Yeah.
And, well, Melo's gone now. But, you know, like around that time, LeBron's a different example because he's been playing for forever. But it's just like, I'm trying to think. Rajon Rondo. We basically saw his whole entire.
Well, we did see his whole career, yeah.
Yeah. And he just retired.
Yeah.
And in going forward, you're going to see the rest of these guys, right, his whole careers. It's going to be weird. It will be weird when Anthony Edwards, as you mentioned, retires.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll probably be like, what, 45 pushing 50 when that happens?
No. I mean, we are
15 more years.
We're both 29. I'll be 30 here in the end of next month.
He'll be around.
If he goes and we're both 50, that's like one of the longest careers in NBA history.
Okay, so you think it's earlier?
I mean, he's been in the league now for 3 years.
But what I'm saying is we're going to feel old when this guy does retire.
I mean, in the grand scope of it, yeah. Yeah.
But those players that you grew up, I mean, you got to like. I mean, this happened when you were in NASCAR with Jeff Gordon. When he retires, you had to find a new favorite. Obviously, you're still a fan of the sport, but you had to find a new favorite, and you chose Bubba Wallace. And that's comes with players. Obviously, team sports, you become a fan of a team, and you stick with that team. But sometimes there's a player, man. And especially the NBA is a great example because I know a lot of people just follow one player in the NBA. But it's a great example. It's like once that player retires, what do you do? You got to go find another player. And while that player's in the last years of his career, you make that decision. But it's just, it's really tough to see all the players that you grew up watching as a kid retire and not play anymore.
And it's definitely a stranger note for me because, like, I know with you, you've never really been a LeBron guy. I'm still a fan of his, but the past, you know, handful of years have really soured things for me with him, the kind of way he's a really.
You like that flinch the other day?
Huh?
You see the video of him flinching with a fan?
Oh, well, that's a little bit different. I'm talking more kind of like, and I don't know, maybe it's just kind of like the whatever tinted glasses, right? But like, just see him out, he kind of just more complains now and just kind of like, more, I guess, being like a hypocritical type of thing where it's like, come on, man. Like, and I don't know, like, you even saw a little bit of it, I think, post game five now at this point, right, where it's like, let me be me. Like, I'm like, well, you've invited all this stuff like literally your whole life. Like, it's not our fault you said for, and this is like the bigger example on it with him, right? It's like not our fault you said you wanted to play with Bronny, and now because like all this is kind of happening at the same time, like we're questioning it, and you're like, just let me decide with my friends and family. Like, nah, that's not how it's going to work in this situation, right? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be like weird. I mean, it's really strange because like obviously we were alive, for example, all of Kobe's career, and but we didn't probably cognizantly recognize it until we were probably like 8 and 9, in a sense. And I think part of it too, this might be the way, obviously, his life ended, like with it just, there was just no warning, obviously. And I don't know, I'm using a very extreme example of it, right? But like, I think kind of a lot of it now is because of that, where it's like, you're kind of looking at it through a different prism with some of these guys. And it's like, like the real reason, and this isn't meant to be like, because like, obviously Michael Jordan took the sport to different heights, right? And Magic and Larry, like the 80s into the 90s really did that. And then obviously kind of the Kobe and Shaq thing really bridging that late 90s into the 2000s to where this current crop kind of is now being phased out. You know, this current crop really probably has done the most for the NBA and basketball as it stands right now. I mean, Steph completely changed the way kids play now.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it, you know, obviously not right now because it's spring sports season for upstate New York here with high schoolers, but like, you know, we just got done seeing the way it's played now, and it's a lot of three-pointers, or at the very least some hybrid style play, as I call it, that, you know, even like when we were in high school like a decade ago, just wasn't there. I mean, you saw more people taking more threes, like that's when Steph was really gaining his steam, but like it was still very inside out style of basketball.
Yeah,
you know, and kind of working from that point. So it's crazy. But I mean, I'm excited for this next crop that's kind of already here at the same token, you know.
And the crazy part about it is there's going to be more players 5 years from now that we don't even know about yet is going to continue that new trend of basketball. So, yeah, I would agree with that. Steph has definitely transformed the game a lot with the three-point shooting. Do you think he's helped the game? Or do you
old Steph,
school, old school, and you like the old style?
The main issue with Steph is, I feel, personally speaking, he's a little bit of the gold, not golden child, poster boy, like post the face of what helped kind of, I think, sour the youth element of basketball. It's kind of funny because, like, in the past week, I've had a couple different conversations about AAU and that travel style of basketball, as I call it. And it's tough for me to fully say Steph ruined it when I don't think him necessarily did. I think it was a kind of cacophony of a bunch of different things, more than anything else. I think it was, if you have to put blame on him, I think a lot of the superstars of this time have to take equally blame. You're literally LeBron and Kobe's and stuff like that, who, look, for as much as it's been a good thing, I think the Mamba mentality thing's also been a huge detriment, for as an example. I mean, the amount of players now who come up with this whole entire, like, me mentality of it is just brutal. And unfortunately, AAU is where it festers because it just allows for it. It's the way it's kind of evolved and shaped out. Like, AAU never used to be what it has become. Like, and, you know, we were, you know, we never did AAU, me and you did, individually speaking, right? But we've been a part of kind of travel teams and stuff like that and tournament teams. And you come across some of these guys where it's like, okay, you're taking this a bit too seriously now for what this is. And obviously in my past life, you know, as an example, I had to combat it, you know, every day it felt like, to some degree. And now we're at a point where, you know, youth sports is really at an impasse here, and it's like, ugh, God, like, it's ugly. It really is ugly. And it's one of those things where, I mean, it gets highlighted at the high school level, obviously, with the lack of officials and refs and now coaches as well. But, like, I don't know if I really want to coach you with sports in that sense anymore. I'd rather wait until I get to high school, at least, because at least, like, I don't have to deal with helicopter parents in that sense the way it is, like, at the really more like youth level.
Yep.
You know, so.
Shout out 07, 08 St. Pat's.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to us for that. I don't know if really any of them are exactly to blame. I know I kind of like danced around it a little bit, but I would say structurally speaking, Seth's not to blame. Maybe there's some of the stuff now there is to blame a little bit, right? Like there are some games I remember doing this past year, and it's tougher a little bit around here. I mean, you'll definitely agree to this end, right? I mean, there's just not the talent pool there used to be. And I know that's the wrong way to phrase it, but like to put it bluntly, right? To hit you over the head with it, like there's just not enough kids anymore for any sport, period, for the most part.
Not around here. No.
And for a lot of kids and a lot of teams, you're forced into trying to figure out ways around it to get an advantage, right? And the way a lot of teams do it, right, it's by three, because Steph Curry is viewed as literally a small player who is able to expose the system. And you get a lot of teams now who just huck up threes, and man, you get a lot of lopsided scores. It's like, this is not good. Well, on the product element of it, right, that, like, me and you have to kind of go to bat for different reasons. Like, it's just not a good product for the kids to learn from or anything like that. Like, there's just no – the continuity element of it, right, the flow of it. Like, it's just – it's unappealing a lot of times. And, I mean, look, for as much as the three-pointers come along, like, it still is the lowest percentage shot in basketball. Like, it's always going to be.
Yep.
Unless we get to a point where it's, like – you get that kid, remember that kid from Papa Shot, that viral video a few years ago?
Yep.
Unless it becomes something like that, which I don't see happening, but you never know. I think maybe in style he could be blamed, quote unquote, but I don't think in structure, you know.
Speaking of 3 points, do you think the Heat are going to hit 23 threes tonight?
Yep. Let's get into some of that playoff stuff here at this point. No. Personally speaking, and this sounds bad, but I don't really care. I just assume kill us now, please. It's just tough. I mean, health's kind of obviously the big thing with the Heat. Jimmy Butler's been out the whole time with the meniscus issue and MCL issue, and you know, Terry Rozier hasn't played at all because of neck spasms. Jaime Jaquez is out now too tonight. It's just gonna be rough. I mean, Tyler Hero's just not played well. I don't think there's a way around it. And everything's kind of going through Bam, and I love Bam. He's a great player, but
can't do it by himself.
He can't do it by himself. That's always been the issue. So I'd rather get the season over with tonight, in a sense. You know, I'd never say die, right? But like, I just don't see what going seven does for the Heat here, in essence, right? So love that more than to beat Boston. I hope it's become obvious to more people why this is a very make or break year for the Celtics. I don't know if they can necessarily move Jaylen Brown this offseason. That's quite the albatross of a contract that he has. But like, if they don't get it done this year, and I personally don't think they will, I mean, you have to answer some questions about that team. Well, that's for sure. And there's been some stuff here in the playoffs where I'm looking at them like, I don't know about them still.
KP going down is huge.
Yeah, but I don't see that making a difference tonight. I mean, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, for the long haul. I'm
saying. Well, yeah, I mean, they get to the next round, perceivably, right? And they will be taking on the winner of
Orlando.
Yeah. That one depends, though. I don't know. I don't even know if it really affects them too much next series, just the way that that series is playing out anyway right now.
Orlando's good at home.
Yeah, but if they go seven games, which I think that's the one series out of the bunch that does go seven games, whether it's the Cavs or Orlando, I don't care who is better where at that point. They're beating up on each other. It's been rock fights that series, like legit rock fight. Like people think, and justifiably so, I think it's just been more glaring given who and what and how. But if you think like the Sixers and Knicks and Heat Celtics have been dirty, like the Cavs Magic series has been like actual blood on the court. I don't see a way. I think the Cavs have the better shot than the Magic to beat Boston no matter what, but like I don't see a way either one of them do. I don't think you see that Porzingis issue creep up until the Eastern Conference Finals, who at this point I'm giving the edge still to the Knicks to get there. So
could be any of those kind four of teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, right? But like, you look at the Bucks situation now, and their health is just look, as much as I'd love to sit here and be like, ha, Doc Rivers again, it's like this what they have going on. It's not Doc Rivers oriented now at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, your best player on the floor for the Bucks is a literal hobbled Chris Middleton at this point. And the fact that they went in Indiana and won. The fact that they were able to do that last night's pretty incredible in my mind. So, that's what, 2-2 now, right? So
3-2. They won in Milwaukee last night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm getting my things crossed up.
Aces were up 3-1.
Yeah, I'm getting myself, Chris, mixed up there a little bit. But, I would imagine Indiana beats them in Indiana. I would imagine.
They got to win that game 6.
I still give the edge to New York against Philly. I just think.
That was tough.
Yeah. I just think there's so much of a microscope now on Embiid, and he's not handling it well very clearly. That
Maxey's becoming a real deal, though.
Yeah, but it's kind of like the Heat situation. Do you really think he's going to do that again the way he did it last night? The answer is no. You have to plan like they will, that he will, but I just don't see it happening. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't think that Porzingis issue creeps up until, in my mind, a perceived Boston Knicks Eastern Conference final. In my mind, anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it could be detrimental.
I mean, it could be. Right.
But I just don't think it's going to matter until the conference finals, but.
Especially in, like, the thing with Boston, like, they're two very different players, especially right now at their stages of even their career and health right now. But, like, especially if Horford's playing remotely decent, like, I don't think it's going to make a difference until the Eastern Conference final.
But if the Heat win tonight, man, who knows?
I just don't see it.
In Boston, yeah, it's going to be. You have to win twice there with the team that they have right now. But one thing I am happy about is the Lakers are gone. So happy about that. Enough of them beating Denver. I'm surprised they beat them once. They're just not in the same class as Denver. And Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league. And personally, I don't think it's even close. There's a lot of great second. It's a great race for second place.
Yeah.
I personally think Jokic is just beyond. He's just unbelievable. The guy is just unstoppable. Sure, he doesn't score 40 points every game, but he passes the ball well, rebounds the ball well. He's just unbelievable. You have to watch him play. And Lakers are just, they overachieved. I think I said this last week. They overachieved this year.
I'm not, the one thing about the series I wasn't surprised with them about was the fact that they did win one game. I mean, I kind of figured that was going to be the case, but like, the only way that they had a shot against Denver in game 5 was going to be Jamal Murray probably actually being out.
And he played.
It just didn't happen.
That series starts on Saturday, Minnesota-Denver.
No matter what. There's a couple really weird scheduling things going on right now. I don't know if you saw, but it's like, in the East, I know they're saying no matter what, like, perceived to be Boston versus
Cleveland,
whoever is going to be like Sunday no matter what.
Really?
I think. Or Sunday or Monday. Like, they're only giving like a one day break to whichever team.
I bet it is.
Yeah, so, yeah. The interesting thing about the Lakers, and this is the same thing for the Suns, we can lump them up in the same category here because both woefully underachieved this year in terms of national prediction. I don't think the Phoenix one is a little bit more surprised than me, only because, like, I know they didn't have a great rotation, but, like,
getting swept.
Getting, I mean, you had
in the
you
first
had,
three games.
You had Durant and Booker. That should have been enough even without Beal to kind of do at least something throughout the season as a whole, let alone the playoff. But, I mean, just in general, they just didn't. And now you get the situation of Frank Vogel. And look, I think Darwin Ham is exactly the coach that we all thought he was going to be when he was hyped up as his assistant? Probably not. But, like, both those coaches this year are getting thrown under the bus for stuff that's just not in their control.
Yeah.
It's not Frank Vogel's fault that he literally was begging for a point guard, and they refused. And
they gave him 2 shooting guards.
Yeah. I mean, you could make the case I think Booker is a point guard. I mean, that's one of the things throughout the past couple seasons I would be like, I still think he leans more as a number one only because of his size. But, like, yeah, I mean, you more or less had to, in their mind, shooting guards, right? They can't facilitate all that well. Yeah, I don't know where either one of those teams really go from there. They're both in some pretty bad, not so much cap hell. I mean, I know they're in cap hell, but, like, for me, it's like I look at them like Phoenix doesn't have, like, any draft picks in the next, like, handful of years.
No,
like,
they trade it all away.
Like, they're screwed. And you look at some of their contracts, like Grayson Allen's going to have an extension that kicks in. I forget who it was. I know he played for UNC. That's the only reason why I, like, recognize the name. But he has, like, a $7 million contract that's, like, a hard cap hit. Like, what the hell are they doing with some of these contracts? Like, I don't know. And, you know, you trade away all your assets to get Kevin Durant more or less. It's like, God. Like, I don't know. It's not good for one of those teams in the future here. I know that.
How about this? Some fan called in on the Michael Kay show.
Oh, boy.
And recommended maybe Durant going to Oklahoma City. Back to Oklahoma City.
So, I'll counter with that. Because I thought Bill Simmons, on his podcast, brought up a good point. If you're Golden State, I think you make the call to Phoenix. And be like, hey, Kuminga, we'll throw in something else you might want. Some local draft capital. I think if you're Phoenix, you take it. I think, now, the OKC one's interesting, but I don't think if I'm OKC, I'm messing with that core right now. I think you have to give them next year no matter what on their own. I don't mean necessarily, like, you don't go out and
they have a lot of picks.
I don't think you maybe, I don't think that means you necessarily go out and don't do anything, right? But, like, I envision Phoenix being like, sure, give us, like, one of the Jalen Williams and probably, like, Giddy, I'm imagining. And knowing Phoenix, in addition to the picks, they'll ask for something, in my mind, ungodly. Like, they'll be like, and you have to throw in, like, Lou Dort. And if you're OKC, I think you have to say no to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's way too much player capital, in my mind, to go. Like, and that's where I think Phoenix is going to want a deal with OKC. I don't think they should do that. If you're Phoenix, and, like, I think the Golden State one's interesting if that is a phone call to be made. That one's the interesting one. Because if you're Golden State, right, like, Steph, he's, like, look, I get it. He's probably not exactly what he once was, but, like, I mean, you drop him on probably about 20 teams in the league right now, he's still their best player. Like, you know, I think the only issue with Golden State, right, it's, like, Klay's probably on the way out.
He looks terrible.
I think Klay still has a couple years left in him. I think if you're Golden State, though, you can't run it back with him. Unless it's the right money deal. I think no matter what, at the end of the day, there's always a deal to be made, but normally teams and players are never on the same line with that. Draymond probably on the way out as well, although he had a really weird, like, renaissance year outside of, obviously, everything else. On the court-wise, when he was actually playing,
he was pretty good.
He had his best year in about 5 years. It was really weird. I picked him up in fantasy, and I was just like, this is, like, really weird looking at the numbers.
Hey, he had a lot of time off.
Right. Well, could that have played a little bit part in it? Sure, but, like, you also had a lot of time off the other past couple of years, too. So, I don't know. It's just really, we're just getting into too many hypotheticals, I think, with that. So,
I would like to see him go back. It'd be a great PR move to go back to Oklahoma City, I think.
I think it depends. I don't.
Give that general manager of Oklahoma City some credit,
Presti.
Man. Yeah, like, all those superstars left his team,
it's
and he
pretty,
built
well,
it
back up. It's pretty interesting, though. There's some. I don't disagree. He did a great job. This is, I think, what they got going is what everybody hoped Philly did, right, with trust in the process. Like, I think OKC at the moment's, like, the process you should trust. Don't forget, Presti also, like, was a notable swing and a miss guy at the front of that. You have to remember, he was also the GM during the Thunder Big Three era of Harden, Westbrook, and Durant.
Mm-hmm.
And he chose Kendrick Perkins over James Harden. He chose Chris Paul over Russell Westbrook. He chose, I don't know how much this one's necessarily on him, right? But he chose letting more or less Paul George walk when they could have ran it back. I'm just saying. I think there's a little bit. I'm not discounting what he's done, but there's some revisionist history going on there that I don't think should be forgotten.
Hey, if you're a real Thunder fan out there, you had a lot of great players come through that system throughout the years.
Yeah.
Melo as well.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of great.
Kevin Martin. Thabo Sefolosha.
Yep.
Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, yeah, man. A lot of great.
Nick Collison.
Oh, yeah. He's a legend there. Yes. Seattle legend.
OKC legend, too, though. They retired his number.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But yeah, they've had a lot of great players come through that program.
Program. Let's transition over here for a little bit of hockey talk as well. We mentioned kind of similar situation happening in hockey, and it's highlighted really out east here, obviously.
I didn't know we were talking hockey. I would have brought my broom.
Well, we'll get to that anyway, though, inherently in a second. But same thing happening in hockey, right? I mean, obviously the Capitals get swept by the Rangers, but I think the bigger storyline maybe involving them, right, is the fact that the Ovechkin window is pretty much, I mean, I thought it was sealed tight anyway this year, but now I think it's officially sealed tight. You look at the Lightning, they get Gellman swept by Florida. Don't know how this Stamkos thing is going to go. I know a lot of people are saying this is it. I don't think it's necessarily it, but, you know, that era more than likely to some degree has come to an end as well. Look, you went through it with the Rangers a couple of years ago here, really. And, you know, well, I guess it might be a hair more than a couple of years ago at this point, right? But, like, obviously with Henrik Lundqvist's situation, it ended up being a bit of a stickier situation to deal with at the end, but you know, that chapter came to a close for the Rangers, and really, to be fair to them, they rebound pretty nicely, pretty quickly, all things considered, from that era. It's kind of funny, I guess they're the ones who really took out the team that kind of kept knocking them out for a while during that era. They're the ones who shut the door on their window, mm-hmm. I guess, of sorts there. It's always interesting to me because hockey, you know, it's probably the most we've talked about it consecutively anyway, all time really, but we both watch it enough where it's like you can always tell a little bit of the ebb and flow, and it's pretty interesting. Hockey's kind of dealing with that issue right now of like they're losing their Ovechkins and your Stamkos is more than likely. And oh, by the way, Pittsburgh also in the same boat here. You know, I know for them, Jeff Carter already retired. I know probably for some people out there might be wondering who Jeff Carter is, but that dude could play. And he ended his career the past few seasons with Pittsburgh, but he did win the Stanley Cup with the Kings back in the day. And, you know, obviously you already know kind of the deal. We don't know how much longer Crosby's going to be going. We don't know how much longer Malkin's going to be going for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a transitional period as well for them. It's really crazy kind of watching the NBA and the NHL. I won't say the identity crisis thing, I think, is a little bit exaggerated on both. But it's interesting watching them kind of navigate the waters of, like, having players who are huge at a important time for both leagues be on the way out. It's pretty interesting to watch.
Yeah. That's another great example. Seeing Crosby and Ovechkin, this is probably getting towards the end now. And
I don't think there is probably. It is getting at the end.
Especially Ovi. No points in the entire series. Mm. 1 point? Maybe he had one.
I know he had no goals. I mean, that was
no goals, but I think maybe 1 point. But that's just in four games. I mean, Capitals just got hot. Like, I think we said that last time. They just got hot. They were the worst goal differential team to ever make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately for Justin Kiefer, you know, his Capitals were knocked out. Shout out Justin Kiefer. Big Capitals fan. Big Hershey Bear fan. But they're gone. The Rangers are legit, though. They just happened to – they ran into a buzzsaw. And – the Rangers, you know, having arguably the best goaltender in the game, and Igor Shesterkin. And you have Vincent Trocheck. You got Armeni Panarin. You got Mika Zibanejad. You got Chris Kreider and Adam Fox, one of the best defenders in the game. And Rempe, he's a big fighter. And the team's loaded, man. And
trying to, by the way, find quickly if we actually have a number on Ovechkin.
But the Hurricanes are going to be a tough matchup for them in the second round. They played the Hurricanes not too long ago, beat them. Obviously, that's a big, big rivalry in the Feliz household. Samantha, my sister from Raleigh, North Carolina, big Canes fan. yeah, she's a big Canes fan, gone to a couple games. Probably can't name any of the players, but I do know Sebastian Aho, who's their best player, and it's going to be tough.
So I have some disappointing news. Ovechkin didn't even have a point.
He didn't get a point. You know, I thought I saw that. That's bad.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a star.
There's a lot of rough seasons. I mean, Stamkos was like the only player to show up for Tampa Bay in terms of offense.
Yeah, what's up with Kucherov?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody just kind of has a series every now and then, but it couldn't have happened at a worse time. Lightning are in a tough spot, man. They're in an interesting money spot again.
They still going to go with Vasilevsky?
Vasilevsky, the big cat. Yes, he's still in the net.
What's up with Hellebuck? Five games, gone.
Hockey, man.
He just didn't even play well.
Yeah.
Avalanche are good, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm surprised, but it's like one of those things where it's like I probably should have taken them a little bit more seriously in the regular season, right? And now you're at a point where it's like, okay, here we go with them. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Vegas and Dallas series has turned out to be really good. Obviously, I think that one pretty obvious, right? But you know, now we got the Bruins and Maple Leafs kind of heating up a little bit as well.
Nashville always loses.
Yeah. That'll happen. So
LA always loses. Yeah. Well, besides that one year.
But
Edmonton.
How's your bracket looking for the NHL?
I don't have an NHL bracket. Should have done one. If I had to make my picks, I would have probably picked the Hurricanes, Rangers. I would have picked the Bruins. I might have picked the Lightning. Definitely would have picked the Oilers. Definitely would have picked the Canucks. Would have picked the Avalanche, and I would have picked Golden Knights because I'm a big Vegas guy. But that's a very tough first round matchup for the number one overall seed in the West in Dallas, getting the Golden Knights in the first round.
Yeah.
Big game five tonight though, 2-2.
Yeah, it's been probably the I don't know about the best series, but I mean it's up there.
Toronto, they need this, man. Yeah. They need to come back and get these two wins.
I don't know. I'm kind of rooting for them to just have that classic Maple Leaf thing right now go on. So as much as I hate the Bruins, but
yeah, it'd be sad because Austin Matthews didn't get 70 goals.
What do you think's up with him?
What's up with him?
Yeah,
is he not playing well lately?
Hasn't been playing.
Oh, he hasn't been playing.
Oh, you probably you know, so you don't know. I bet you he has vertigo.
Really?
You can look up, like, what's been going on, but, like, they're calling it, like, a non-illness and a doctor's holding him out, but, like...
He hasn't played the whole series.
He played the first couple games, but not well.
Interesting.
They held him out of practice past couple times, and... I don't know. I think today's technically, like, a game-time decision. I could be wrong, but, like...
Yeah. I mean, when I think of vertigo, I think of Jason Day, the golfer.
Oh, yeah.
He had vertigo, falls on the golf course a couple times. It's happened.
Yeah.
And... That's a scary thing to deal with.
If you say vertigo around my brother, you got Roy Williams to deal with.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He had it, too.
All right, before we get out of here, let's talk a little bit of baseball here. We're a month in.
That's baseball, baby.
Kind of see some storylines developing. Start with, I guess, a little bit yesterday here and maybe develop out a little bit. Mike Trout going to be out an extended period of time once again. Knee issue. I'm not surprised at this point. It's so weird to me, the conversations we have about him anyway. Like, he wasn't even, like, a top-rated player this year anyway. And people are like, oh, here we go. Like, Ken Griffey Jr., like, all over again. Like, Ken Griffey Jr. was healthy, though, for, like, literally half his career.
Yeah, ever seen
the commercial? You can't say that about Mike Trout.
I mean, you seen the Mike Trout, Ken Griffey Jr. commercial?
The what?
There's a Ken Griffey Jr. Mike Trout commercial.
Really?
And... they're hitting batting practice, and I think Trout says, let me know when you get two MVPs or three MVPs, and then Griffey comes back with him and says, let me know when you get to 630 homers. So he's nowhere near that. Mm-hmm. So Griffey's definitely played longer.
I don't want to be that guy either on that one, but, like, either way. I mean, don't get me wrong, it still sucks, but like I've seen a couple different people. I was texting a couple different friends about it, and they always talk about like, well, you know, like Mickey Mantle is the same way. I'm like, yeah, but Mickey played through like most of his injuries, like and stuff like that, and still put up with numbers that he did.
He's probably also drunk out there.
Well, beside the point. But I was in the minority about this then. I feel like I'm still in the minority about it now. But like, I just view Bryce Harper to be the better of the two still, and I'll take it to the grave. Don't get me wrong; it still sucks. Like, I don't want to see anybody hurt out there. But like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I view it as like, there's a pretty good chunk of guys I think I'd take over him and always have, and that's the way it's going to be. And just another case of it in this situation where I always chuckle at this. Like, well, you can't blame him for the situation he's in. Like, yeah, but like he didn't have to take all that money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of guys who have in the past taking reduced salary. I mean, as much as we mocked it, like Shohei deliberately did the way his contract way he did, so like the Dodgers could actually go out and get guys. You know what I mean? And go out and, pay other people. You know. Trout didn't do that. You know, I don't know. I just view it as like one of those things where it's like, don't get me wrong, it sucks, but it's like, for me, it's okay, we move on. Like, it's the Angels. Like, this is just their MO, essentially. This has been his MO, yep, his whole career, essentially, right? Like, and I get, like, cool, like, he did stuff at the start of his career, but like, he hasn't done anything historic in like literally almost a decade. Like, it. Sorry, like, I'm not going to be losing sleep on this. Like, don't get me wrong, this guy was a really good player, but, like, he's on, like, that Maglio Ordonez playing for me almost at this point, where it's like, damn, very good, but, like, could tell that there was more.
Yeah, I think he's a little better than Maglio, but,
Disrespect.
But Maglio does have a walk-off home run in the ALCS to clinch him to the World Series, so that's one thing I always remember about him.
That is deep and true.
Charles does have a home run in the playoffs, though. That's his one hit. But,
ooh.
Yeah. It's just becoming a regular occurrence with Trout getting hurt. Oh, Trout's hurt. Oh, it's that time of year. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but he is, when he retires, people are not going to know him as this great first ballot Hall of Famer. They're going to know him as the injury-prone type player.
I have some breaking NBA, well, quasi-NBA news. The fourth Porter brother has been arrested for a DWI.
Wow.
So not only did Coben Porter get sentenced to prison, right? You have brother Jonte, the lifetime ban for gambling, and now brother Javon arrested for DWI. Jesus.
How many more are there?
I don't know. I didn't know that there was four of them. Like, I didn't even know Jonte was his brother until like all this happened.
You know, your brother had to correct me. I thought we were talking about Otto Porter's brothers. These are Michael Porter.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Otto Porter. Did he retire?
I think he did.
Damn.
Georgetown guy?
Yeah.
Third pick, I think, in the draft. What a boss.
There's been worse picks.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Mike Trout. Yeah. I agree with you. He's a great player, but he'll never go down as one of the greatest players.
At least to me, anyway.
Like a lot of people think he will be. I mean, got to go to the playoffs once, more than once. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, but that's like the thing I go back to, right? And like, look, baseball is not an individual sport. Like, I get that. Like, it's very much so a team sport, but like, every great player, like, at least willed their team to the playoffs, like, at least once, and Trout just never really has.
No.
I mean, I don't want to be that kind of guy with it here, but, like, I look at it, and, like, to me, it's just kind of baffling how, like, we can just kind of put him on this pedestal the way some people do. And like I said, I know I'm in the minority on it. It's whatever, but, like, for me, it's, like, cool. Like, Bryce Harper's just continuously done it. You know, he's had one major injury, I guess two technically. But, like, he's never really missed too much time in the grand scheme of it, especially compared to Trout.
Yeah, you know, but first month in the book.
And also another guy from that era, not to interrupt you there, another guy from literally that year, like Manny Machado. like, he gets forgotten about in all this between those two somehow. And, like, I'd probably take Machado over Trout, too, if I'm just being honest.
You're forgetting another one, too, Andrew McCutchen. But
McCutchen was came in before they did. I mean, to be fair.
There was that one year where it was
McCutchen,
Harper, and Trout were the
McCutchen came up in
2009.
Was it 2009? I thought it was 2008.
2009.
But, like,
against the Mets. Base right. It up the middle. First at bat.
All right, fair enough. Apologies to the Jeff Russell-led Pirate squad that year. But, yeah, I mean, I just, you know, my guys. Jose Tabata.
Jose Tabata, great player. Helping kids down the Dominican Republic, I think.
They'd feed Pedro tacos.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, first month is in the books. Pirates started off great. Now in last place. Hitting woes. Really bad right now. Something needs to change, especially if you get swept by Oakland today.
And Shelton on the tarmac.
Oh, he's gone in my head. I envision a clown now as a manager.
You mocked me when I said that there had to be some consideration about him, and you mocked me when I said that last year.
I'm sorry.
Now who's getting mocked?
You're not going to accept my apology?
No. I stand on my moral ground.
The Yankees out of first now?
They should be.
I think they've lost a couple to the Orioles, yeah. Right?
Well, they lost one.
One.
No, wait. Yeah, it is two. Sorry.
Yeah.
It is Wednesday.
They're game back now.
Yep.
Red Sox playing well. Cleveland playing well. Mm-hmm. Kansas City playing well. Mm-hmm. Detroit playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle's starting to get hot.
Mm. Not Julio, though.
Houston is not.
No.
Atlanta's Atlanta. Philly. Mm-hmm. Mets.
Don't be like that with the Mets.
Dodgers starting to get a little better. Mm-hmm. And the Rockies are the Rockies.
Yeah.
And the White Sox are... actually,
White Sox are actually...
They've actually been playing better, but...
Well, they are the worst team in baseball. But, yeah. Tampa's the one... Well, I can't say it's a mystery. You didn't mention them, but, like, yeah, White Sox sweep them. It's like, huh... Maybe that whole entire dumping everybody is coming home to roost a little bit, you know. Look, I get it. You may not be able to kind of pay them, but, like, even Oakland would just never outright dumping guys, like, if they saw a window. Like,
yeah.
You know, you can say what you want about the way Oakland operated, especially a few of those years, but, like, at least they would just be like, huh, we're good. Yeah, we'll keep Samardzija and Lester and run it back another year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they weren't just like, huh, hey, you want Glasnow for pennies on the dollar?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, the Rays do it a whole different way.
Yeah.
I do not support what they do there.
No. Hey, speaking of supporting what they do or not do, we finally had a really first true brawl of the year last night, too. Saw actual punches. Abner, Uribe, and Jose Siri. That was gnarly. Like, Uribe went around an umpire and got him pretty good, and then Siri landed a couple as well. Seeing that type of stuff always catches me off guard, especially between two teams that, like, now I get it. Siri hit a home run, first home run in over a month for him. And I guess he showed some pleasure with it. I don't blame him, but, like, I guess they tried beaning him one time. Or, no, they did bean him. And there were ejections there. And then Uribe, like, in the next at bat with him, was barking at him. And then everything kind of tipped off, but, like... Yeah, I mean, seeing that stuff is always kind of crazy, especially when most brawls we're used to now, especially now, it's a lot of hold-me-back type stuff. That one was just a legitimate, like, brawl. Like, they were going at each other.
Yeah. Fun fact about Abner. I don't remember how many, but I think he's one of, like, two or three people that have the name Abner make it to the major leagues.
Really?
Yeah, I remember that. Somebody saying that stat, Abner. Because, you know, obviously you people know Abner Doubleday. Big fan around here in the Auburn area,
yeah, now I'm quickly thinking, I can't think of many Abners.
I'm almost certain when Pirates played against him, the stat came out, he's like the second or third Abner to ever make the major leagues.
All right, you keep talking, I'm going to go on Baseball Reference.
And yeah, and yeah, it's cool, brawls are always fun. I mean, we still today talk about, what's that guy's name? Fucking the guy that played for the Yankees there. He punched Batista. Jose Bautista.
Oh, Rugi?
Yeah, Odor.
And Odor?
Yeah, we still today talk about Odor wailing Bautista in the face. That was one of the greatest punches. in MLB history.
Okay, I have an update on the Abner front here. You said second?
Second or third, I can't remember.
Because I think it's third.
Okay, it could be third.
Let me double check here quickly, though, just to be sure that we aren't dealing with some weird quasi stuff.
Yeah, Rielly's on it.
Nope, that's a major leaguer. It's a major leaguer named Abner Dalrymple. Played for the Pirates, actually.
Wow.
And let's check out this other Abner. He played for a couple of years. Negative war. Come on, Abner. Back in the 1800s. And, yeah, those were major leagues. Oh, wait, though. Hold on here. They're listed as minor league.
Whoa.
Though below. We might have some contradictory stuff going on here with Abner Powell. So he's either the second or third Abner after at least Abner Dalrymple.
What about Abner Doubleday? Give him a shout out.
Shout out to Abner Doubleday.
Do you think he's like what the game that they've done to his game?
It's not even technically his game, if we want to be fair. But okay. Makes for a great story.
First month, good.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a pretty good start of the season. I think the only blemish really was the uniform stuff. Really,
what's happening? It's getting changed.
Yeah, I don't. You know, so it sounds like we aren't going to see it until later in the season, more than likely, for the most part. But yeah, I mean, starting next year, we'll be back to last season's style of uniform. So,
oh, we'll always remember this. Yeah, it's like the replacement refs.
No. See, at least the replacement refs were like refs. They may not have been good, but they were refs. You can't even make the case that these were jerseys.
They were t-shirts.
Pretty much. Glorified t-shirts. I don't want to be that guy, but like, look, I know you got your hoodie on right now, but like, I'm wearing a t-shirt and
feel like a jersey?
Hey, the camera can't see this, right? Can't see through it, so you tell me.
Well, I'm glad that's changing. Disappointed my Pirates right now, but Yankees are looking good.
I don't think you can be all that disappointed just yet. First month, you're still trying to get through some stuff.
Skeens looked good again last night.
I have an interesting take about him. Let's do it right here really quick. We got a minute here that I could do this. If they don't call him up, do you think somebody's going to Rule 5 draft him?
If they don't call him up, somebody can draft him?
I'm talking if say he's not a triple.
Oh, you mean the Rule 5 draft.
Yeah. Do you think somebody Rule 5s him?
No.
You don't think so? I bet you some team would. I'm just saying. The Pirates did that. Now, this is going way back. This is baseball nerdum with me here. So when Branch Rickey left the Dodgers, unceremoniously left the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers, back in the early 50s. One of his last signings was Roberto Clemente. And the Dodgers kept him stashed at AAA for like 2 years. And Branch gets to Pittsburgh, and although he wasn't the GM there, I think he was like head of baseball ops or whatever technically, told the GM in the Rule 5, like, take Clemente. he knew like he was just like good to go.
Yeah.
And I know it was a struggle his first year, but they stuck with him. And obviously, you know, look at it now. I'm just saying it's an interesting thing. I was looking at a couple different rosters today because I was looking for a couple different people, like where they might have ended up. We're at an interesting time with the minor league rosters anyway right now. But he's not even on the 40 man for Pittsburgh. So I'm just saying somebody could.
They'll call him up.
I would imagine, but I'm just saying, like, the clock's ticking. Clock is ticking.
All right.
You know,
you look good again, though.
That's all I'm saying. All right.
I'm out of here.
Hey, speaking of looking good, that'll do it for Fresh Takes for today. Appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening. All the fun stuff there. Nick, who are you shouting out?
A double
today?
Shout out today.
Double shout out.
Double birthday shout out.
Double barreled.
Happy birthday to shout out to my Uncle George, Jack DeRue's dad.
Winner.
His birthday tomorrow.
And he won the bracket challenge, right?
Jack?
No, George.
No.
Which Giroux won it then?
It was LaRue.
Oh.
I'm the Rue who I went to school with.
Oh. So one of your messages auto-corrected to Giroux then. Do you know that?
Giroux.
I'm pretty sure like it switched to DeRue in one of your messages.
But it was him versus Jack. It was LaRue versus DeRue.
Oh, okay.
They were really going at it the last day. But anyway.
I didn't mean to interrupt your double shot. Your double shout out.
Yeah, this is George's moment here.
Apologies.
Uncle George, happy birthday. My second.
One of my favorite dudes, by the way.
A good guy. Shout out to my friend Nate Severance.
A good dude.
His birthday is on May the 4th. Be with you.
And he's a dad. He's got that dad energy now.
It's a lightsaber.
I was aware.
It's on Saturday. Obviously, May the 4th is on Saturday, so happy birthday, Nate. Shout out George and Nate.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Shout out to them. Happy birthdays to each. We'll be back next Wednesday. Sound good to you as always, Nick?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see everybody then. Nick's running
around. Get your lightsaber out.
Nick's running around with a fictitious lightsaber. I ain't got it in me, so we'll talk with everybody next Wednesday.